And Judges chapter number 14, I'll skip around a little bit. I want to start in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'There is never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines.' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, and for she pleaseth me well.'" You know, the world will look real pleasing. It'll look real pleasing to be able to talk like them, to be able to joke with them. You know, once they get to joking about the vulgar things of this world, it's real easy to try to slip in there, try to not be that weird person. You know, in Titus chapter number 2, verse 14, Titus 2 and 14, it says, "For who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." But Lord doesn't call us to be just average people. He calls us to be zealous people, to be peculiar people. Hey, if you're living the real Christian life, you're not going to fit in. You're going to be that square in a triangle spot in them little kid toys. You're not going to fit in. No matter which way you turn it, you're not going to fit in. Hey, he's a good guy. You know, they don't have to just absolutely hate your guts on the outside. But everything within them is going to try to pull and tug. I had a coworker, not going to name any names, not going to throw anybody under the bus, but he was a lost person. He was a Catholic. He was a Catholic. And he didn't go to everyday mass, but he was real studied in it. He was real sharp on it. He went to four-year college for it. He was real sharp with it. And we've started a thing where me and two other fellas will pray over morning meeting, which is a blessing. That was an answer to prayer right there. But me or two other guys will take turns. We'll pray every morning. Well, this man was Catholic. And after it was only when I'd pray. I'd pray over the day, pray over everybody there. We'd get done, and he'd come up to me every single morning. Every single morning I'd pray, and he'd come up to me and challenge me. Throughout the day, he'd challenge me on different things. And he knew, because I didn't just fit right in with everybody else. There was something different. And I'm not lifting myself up. I promise I'm not lifting myself up, but there's something different when you don't just conform to the world. When you don't just, you know what, I'll mess around with what they're saying. I'll smoke what they smoke. I'll drink what they drink. I'll say what they say, and I'll act like how they act. No, that's not the child of God. You ought to be zealous. You ought to be a peculiar people. But anyways, we'll get back into the reading. Then his father and his mother said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren," verse number 3, "or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." Number 4, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyard. It came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, a small little goat, or a lamb. And he had nothing in his hand, and he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and there came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman And Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. See, right there. See, he was strong. He had the might of the Lord upon him. See, he killed this lion. Hey, a normal man could not even mess up a young lion. A normal man could not just, with nothing in his hands, I'd like to see a first person that'd be willing and actually do it. I'm sure there's a lot of people in this world that's got as much IQ as a rock in this world that'd go after a lion and try to take him barehanded. But I'd like to see one that actually rip him apart, like how the Bible says that Samson did right here. So he did this unnatural thing for a man to do because God had a hold on this man's life. He's in the Judges. This man, Samson, he's in the book of Judges. He was a judge. He had some thought about him. He had the touch of the Lord upon him. And it all came down to this part right here. But and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. See, he starts, you know what? I bet they can't guess what I just did. A little pride creeping in right there. If we're not careful, a little bit of pride will just sneak in from the left field, from the right field, from under our shoe, from on top of our hair. We won't even notice it, but it came into Samson, and he didn't even think twice about it. And it just came in, and he said, you know what? I'm gonna play a little riddle for him. Number 13, but if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garment. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he says, so he tells the riddle about the honey and the lion and this and that. And number 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband. See, they couldn't get to him. See, obviously, he wasn't about to spill this riddle. He was having a little bit of fun with it. But his wife, they went after the weak part. See, they couldn't jab at him enough, but they went for the weak part. That's how the world will do every single time. They'll go after the weak spot. They'll go after the Achilles heel, that little spot that you might not have thought to armor up. They may go after that little spot that you're not thinking of behind your head. Well, that's the most vulnerable spot. They went to his wife. They said, in verse number 15, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. They threatened her. They threatened her and her father's house and all that that whole family had. Burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? Verse 16, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, dost thou hate me and lovest me not? Thou put forth a riddle unto them, unto the children of my people, and hast not told it to me. And he said, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? See, a little bit more pride coming in, a little cocky with what he's doing. I haven't told this one, and I haven't told that one. That's my mom and my dad. I haven't told them. You think I'm going to tell you? Well, that's his wife. That's his brand new wife. He's getting a little cocky. Getting a little bit too comfortable with what he's playing around with. Verse 17, and she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. There it was. His little game that he was playing with the Philistines that he didn't tell anybody, and he bragged a little bit to his wife and said, I haven't told anybody. Think I'm going to tell you? Well, he finally, because she lay sore, because that weakness of his, and I'm not calling a wife a weakness, but that's where they got him. And he ended up coming to him, and he said, you know what, this is what it is. And he told her the riddle, and she told it to them. She told the riddle to the children of her people. Number 18, and the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, and ye have not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and went down to Ashkelon and slew thirty men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled and he went up to his father's house. Number 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion who he had as his friend. Right there, that thing that he had longed so much for, that was of the flesh. His father told him, hey, you don't need to be messing around with that. But he'd gotten a little far away from his father. He'd gotten a little bit too big-headed for what his father had to say. You think his father knew better? He absolutely did. He wouldn't have got into all that trouble, and he wouldn't have had to slew them 30 men to give the spoil to the Philistines. And because he had done that, now, in verse number 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had as his friend. You know how much of a stab in the heart that was to Samson when he found out in chapter number 15, when he found out that his new brand new wife was given to his friend? Oh, my soul. But it was his fault because he had messed around. He had messed around with what his father told him, and he got a little too big-headed for what his father had said. Remember that right there. Chapter number 16, we'll skip down. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in under her. See, he's messing around again. So he's getting a little too cocky with his strength now. He knows he can burn down fields with the foxes. He can tie them together and set blazes on the blazes to the fields. He's getting a little too comfortable with the flesh. He's playing around with the flesh now. And he saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Verse 2, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. There he is again, messing around. There he is again. He's fooling around. He's getting a little too comfortable with his flesh. He's popping around. He's going into this one. He's going into that one. He thinks he's all that. He thinks he's just that guy. He thinks he's all that. And he goes down to Sorek, who's the valley of Sorek. And he loved a woman whose name was Delilah. And we know the rest of the story, the whole with Delilah. But he gets too comfortable. Again. Over and over and over. This mighty thing that the Lord had given to him. This mighty gift. Mighty. I'm talking he was mighty. He picked up them gates and the bars and all and took them on his shoulders. No man can do that. I mean, the world's strongest man right now that competes, he couldn't do that. He trains. Samson was just a normal-looking guy. You know, they said, wherein doth his strength lie? See, if he was a big old brawny guy, if he was 6'9", built like all get out, just a big old, well, that's where his strength lie. No, he was just a normal-looking guy, but the Lord had a gift upon him. You know, the Lord gives us gifts. He gives certain things to us. What are we doing with them? Hey, the Lord might give you a talent to go, hey, be able to speak to somebody. He's given me that talent. Sometimes I have too many words to say and not enough time to say it. But the Lord gives each of us gifts. We'd better not be cocky like Samson was and start messing around with them and get in more trouble. See, it all started when he just disobeyed his daddy. See, that's a common thing. For a youngin' to just, well, that's what dad said. That's where it all started. That's where it all started. He disobeyed his parents. He dishonored his parents by doing so. We'll skip over to Genesis chapter number 13 and 10. See, something that kind of stood out to me with even that and the state of the world right now, what I was just talking about a while ago when we opened up, there's a moral decline. I was talking with my coworker about this. There's a moral decline every single day. It seems like hourly there is a moral decline just from 5 years ago, 2020, but probably before then. There's been just a moral decline at a rapid rate. I'm talking waterfall, rapid rate, just absolute plummeting. And we wonder, well, what's going on? I tell you what's going on. It's the lack of the fear of God. And I'm not just talking about the world. I'm not just talking about them out there, the ones that are partying it down right now, who's drinking right now, who's doing this and that right now, who's partying right now. I'm not talking about that is true. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about us. Each and every one of us. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about Brother Carl. I'm talking about Miss Stacy. I'm talking about Ashley. I'm talking about Adam. Every one of us. Every one of us. I'm talking about me. Our fear of God has just declined because we're getting too comfortable. If we weren't comfortable in this world, well, we'd have a fear of God. Our fear of God wouldn't keep us comfortable in this world because this place isn't our home. This place isn't our home. Why would we be comfortable in a stranger's household? I'm more comfortable at my house, sitting in my bed. If I go to a hotel, I'm wanting to get back to my bed because that's mine. I'm not wanting to stay at that hotel. That's not mine. This world isn't mine. This world's not my home. Hey, I got plenty over there to be looking forward to even be thinking about here right now. I mean, I know we have to go about each and every thing of our daily lives, but sometimes we get a little bit too wrapped up in our little everyday to-do lives. We get tied up with the little tiny things that don't mean absolutely nothing even in this life, let alone our eternal life or that person's life down the road. Or that person's life that we look at each and every single day. We get tied up with these little tiny things. We get all tore up about this and or that and or, oh, my, this wasn't done the way that I wanted it to be. And we get tied up and this and over here's, what, Lord? I thought they said they were a Christian. You're focused on right here. You're acting up over here. They're looking at you. I preached that last time I preached. The world's always watching. The world's always watching. All the time. Hey, the Philistines right here. They were watching for an occasion for him to slip up. Right. Hey, they watched for Elijah. That's where I had preached from. Daniel. They watched for an occasion for Daniel. They couldn't find one in Daniel, so they had to just throw. They had to make some wild law for him to get thrown into a lion's den. But with Samson, oh, it was so easy. It was so easy because he almost asked for these. Am I asking for these little slips-ups? Am I asking for every time I mess up, every time that I... Am I asking for that? Am I walking straight into it with a flashlight? Am I just walking into the dark, you know, just him hauling around? What am I doing? What am I doing on my everyday life? Am I being too comfortable with this world? Genesis chapter number 13, and I'll start in verse number 10. Genesis chapter, I might want to flip over there if I want to read it. Genesis 13, verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes. We know the whole story behind Lot. Well, Lot, he followed around Abraham for a long time, and then a few people got a little bit in the way, and they said, you know what, we might ought to split ways. And Lot, verse number 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zorah. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Look at that plain. Look at the plains of Jordan. Man, look, there, it's lush over there. Man, look at all the plains. Oh, well, it changes a little bit in verse number 12. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. He got as he was walking, he said, well, that city, you know what? Why would I be uncomfortable laying out here when I can just go into the city instead? I'll go into the city and everything will be right there. It'll be comfortable. And he started getting comfortable, and he wasn't even there yet. He wasn't even all the way in yet. He was starting to get comfortable. Hey, we don't have to be all the way into some deep sin before we start dropping off, dropping off, dropping off. Hey, we heard that. Man, I heard that song from when I was a kid, and it just reminded me. And I'll flip that on real quick. I'll flip that song on real quick. It's just rolling in my mind. And the next song, I heard that. And before too long, that gospel channel ain't on no more. And that rock and roll's switched on. And, that makes me feel young again, and I feel real comfortable. And before you know it, that you got comfortable right off the bat. Hey, you weren't all the way in it yet. Hey, you still had the gospel channel on, still had that gospel music on your phone, but you slipped a little and you got a little comfortable in the first verse of that song, and and you got comfortable and you let it ride out, and you sing, you know, chorus, second verse and bridge, and then in next song, and now you're comfortable. Now you're all comfortable. And I'm not just talking about music, there's other things. Hey, each and every one of us has our things that that the devil just pries at us. That our flesh just, man, it sits back in its rocking chair and it just feels real nice sitting right there. That's getting comfortable with the flesh. He got comfortable before he even got there. Verse number 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They weren't just wicked. They weren't just, I wouldn't hang around them every day. No, they weren't just bad. They were wicked. They weren't even wicked. The Bible says they were wicked exceedingly. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. We'll skip over to chapter number, I believe it's 16. Nope, it is farther than that. Chapter number 20, or 19. Chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19. Now, all this wickedness has consumed Lot. He has a wife. It's consumed his wife. He has kids now. It's consumed the kids. There's wickedness just rampant through there, and they're comfortable. He's living in the middle of town now. He's one of them. He's buddies with them. He's rubbing shoulders. He's got them over at his house. He's just comfortable. Man, he's past comfortable. Man, he's inviting it straight into his house at this point. They can walk freely in and out, it about seems like. And then the Lord, he takes him out of, he has to drag him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He has to drag that family out because someone in his life prayed for him. And that's a whole different message. But he had to drag him out. He had to drag him out of that city. Verse number 26 of chapter number 19. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. See, she was part of that land. See, that was her place. She looked back. He tried to, you know what? Take her out of this. Take my family out of this. They're running. They had straight commandment. Don't look back. Don't be doing that thing you did before you were lost, before you were saved when you were lost. Don't be doing that thing that I saved you from. Don't be doing that thing. But then his wife, one last glance, salt. Big old block of salt. Pillar of salt. Not good for nothing no more. Just right there. Stuck in that place forever. Verse number 27. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the plain, the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the furnace, smoke of the furnace. You know, the Bible talks about hell in the exact same way, as a furnace, as a smoke, choking smoke. That's how the Bible describes it, choking smoke. Just an absolute smoke, fiery pit. That sounds a lot like hell, looking back towards hell. You know, the Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. It's death. Looking back towards the world, looking at sin, doing sin, listening to sin, living in sin, the wages for sin is death. I wouldn't, if I were to be working somewhere and they were paying me $1 an hour, first of all, I wouldn't work more than 1 minute. But I wouldn't last in an hour knowing that on down the road, I wouldn't even have to work. I wouldn't even have to work. And I just get blessings on blessings. That's exactly how it is in that verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Why would you trade? Why on earth would you trade that eternal life, that gift of God, that thing that God has set in place, God's will, that the very thing that God has, this is mine, this is what pleases me. I'll just take one real quick look before I. That looks real good. It looks real good. I'm gonna take one last glance. What's it worth? What is it worth? What is sin worth? Why? Why do we get so comfortable being in this flesh? I heard it said one time, I wake up in the mirror and I hate the man that I see. Is this older gentleman. I'm not going to name his name. This older gentleman, I was talking to him. We were just having a really good conversation. He said, you know, I get up in the morning and I creak out of bed. And I walk to the bathroom and I see the ugliest man I ever seen. He said, I hate this man. He said, I hate him with a passion. I can't wait to get to my home where I ain't got to look in a mirror no more. But what he was talking about his flesh. He said, I don't like looking at this flesh. See, God saved me from this flesh, but I'm stuck here right now. See, that inner man, that's what needs to be living out. That's what needs to be walking around in this world. We ought not to be letting this flesh walk around, make choices every single day, listen to the things that this flesh wants to listen to, wear the things that this flesh wants to wear. Because it'll want to brag. It'll want to boast about the things that we ought not be boasting or bragging about, because we ain't got nothing to boast or brag about. Are we too comfortable with this shell? Or do we want more? What do we want? What does our flesh want? We can't just ride it on autopilot. We can't just ride this out and just be comfortable where I'm sitting, because it's real easy to get real comfortable where I'm standing right here. I got my foot propped up. It's real easy to just get comfortable right there. What if God wants you to move? What if God's been taking steps? You know, one thing that the Lord gave me a while ago, as I was driving down the road, coming back from work today, you know, we're a temple. He's always with us. Now that we're saved, He's always with us. He's right there with us. Brother Adam, I can sit this close to you. We're pretty close. I could be sitting right there, and we'd be really close. I could hug up to you, and we'd be really close. You know, I'll never be as close as the Lord can be. He'll be inside of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But that's what he said. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, Peter forsook the Lord. He forsook the Lord. I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. You know, go on. He three times. We can push him away, and we ought not to. That should fear us. That should scare the life out of us to deny the Lord. But what I'm getting at is, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He never will. But we can walk away. We can walk away from his will. I'm not saying that we'll walk away from salvation. That's not at all what I'm saying. But we'll walk away from his will. And all of a sudden, his voice, instead of it being right there at us, just, hey, I want you to go here. I want you, you see that man over there? I want you to talk to him. He needs a little encouragement. I want you to stand up real quick and just tell everybody how good I've been to you. Instead of it being right there close to you, we'll walk a little bit farther away. Hey, go talk to that man. Go talk to him. Hey, we start. Well, look at the plains of Jordan over there. Them plains look real nice. And the Lord's standing right there. Hey, go talk to him. Go. We just walk a little bit farther. Man, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, man. Wow. Beautiful. Man, look at all this. And we start getting a little farther away. A little farther away. And he's, hey, would you do what I'm saying? Hey, go to church. You've stopped going to church. Hey. Come back. Come back. I'm just come here. Come here. And man, these people are so nice. Man, look at this city I'm in. Man, it's just beautiful. I mean, I'm not real fond of how they're joking, but it's kind of funny, you know. It's hey. Stop doing that. Hey. And then all of a sudden, we're so far away that just the very bare minimum that God's telling us to do, written down for us to read. Not even a special word from him. Not him getting real close and being with us in our little secret place where it's just me and him. But it's the thing that's written in the word. Hey, I told you to go to the house. Go to church. I told you to go to church. And we're off wandering around in Sodom and Gomorrah because we got too comfortable. That's where it leads. Hey, we're not going to stop it. Well, man, it looks real nice over there, but I think I'm just going to stay. No, because it gets, that next step gets a little bit more comfortable. That city gets a little bit bigger and a little nicer. Wow, I could really build on that. I could really, my sheep would really like that. And man, it's getting real comfortable over here. And the Christian life is not comfortable. It's not always going to be comfortable. And I'm not saying that we go through the Christian life without blessing. We get more blessings than we ever could being comfortable. I mean, that's just a fact. It's just a fact. I've used the illustration before. If you're trying to get strong, trying to get real strong, you know, you go to the gym and you just pump the little 5 pound weight, just pump the 5 pound weight over and over and over, go again the next day, do the same thing. You're not doing anything. You're not, because it's not hard. That 5-pound weight's just easy, man. I'm comfortable just standing right here in front of the mirror looking at myself, just swinging this little 5-pound weight around because it's comfortable. It's easy. Man, I can just walk in here and, man, it's comfortable, you know. But the ones that get strong are the ones that do the difficult things. And then when that time comes for it to, for that strength that you've been building on, and it comes into play while the one that's been curling the 5-pound weight can't do nothing. That's exactly, I know that's a carnal illustration, but it's the best one I can come up with in my head. The one that never does anything, the one that's comfortable looking in the mirror, swinging the 5-pound weight, just because it's comfortable, it's easy. They're not as strong as the one that's doing the hard stuff, the one that goes till failure, the one that can't hardly do anymore and they push a little harder. And that's how the Christian life is. We shouldn't be comfortable where we're at. And if you're comfortable where you're at, you don't need to be there. You don't need to be there. And I'm not saying don't enjoy the blessings that God gives you, but oh my soul, I've gotten too comfortable where I'm at. We've all gotten far too comfortable where we're at. The place that we're at, it's just, we've sat there for far too long, and it fits us just so well. It fits us so well. Be that good witness in someone's life. Stand out a little bit. And I'm not saying you need to be all extravagant and just scare them off. That's not what I'm saying. But be that good example. Don't be Samson. Don't be Lot. Don't be the ones that, hey, when you turn to Samson, it's going to be a, going to be dealing on pride. It's going to be, that message is going to be dealing on being comfortable with the flesh or this or that. Don't be that one. Don't be Samson. Don't be Lot where you go astray, where you take your whole family with you. Don't be that one. We don't have to be that one. Hey, we have free will to do what we want to. But that also means that we can push that button, autopilot's on, we can just cruise through this life. Just kind of ho-hum, go on through and do nothing for God. Do nothing for God. What are we doing? Has God not done anything for us?
Yes, sir.
He's done plenty for all of us.
Amen.
He's done plenty for me.
Amen.
He's done far too much for me. For me to sit quiet, for me to just, well, I'm not going to testify because it wasn't that much. Oh my. If we ever think that the blessings of God, it's not that much. What if that touches somebody's heart? What if someone's struggling with something and they just need that? What if that little thing is just that big to them? It's just from here to the moon to them. And it just absolutely makes their day. It increases their faith. You know what? I needed to hear that. But because it was that small to you, nothing was done. Revival didn't happen. That one didn't get saved. It's all down to the little moments. I've preached on that too. It's all in the little things. But it's being too comfortable in our everyday life to just ho-hum, just kind of going through life. I'm comfortable right here. Man, it's fun going to these parties. It's fun doing this. So it's, I know you got real comfortable, haven't you? It's real comfortable. We ought not be comfortable. I ought not be comfortable. Joshua Bryan Doherty better not be comfortable in this Christian life. We better not be comfortable sitting where we're sitting, because there's a good chance right outside of the gate, the enemy's waiting for us. Fixing to get us. There's a good chance that while we're comfortable laying our head down in that sin, in sin's lap, there's a good chance right behind the door of our chamber coming in to get us, because we exposed our weakness, we played around with it, and the devil's right outside. Our flesh is right outside. The enemy's right outside, because we've laid our head in the lap of of sin. Because Samson did the same thing. He got real comfortable. He started messing around. He got real comfortable. He laid his head down in Delilah's lap and he told her everything. She saw that. And she asked him several times. He, well, it's this. And he messed around. He said, it's that. And they came and it wasn't that. But this and that. And well, then finally she begged him for the last time and he said, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what my weakness is. And he played into that weakness. And he laid his head down. And she cut his hair. And in came the enemy. And they bound him hand. And they plucked out his eyes. And he was worth nothing. He was worth nothing. He got real comfortable in the lap of sin. He got real comfortable. We need to be constant seekers of the spiritual things in this life and not the material. I understand that we are material beings right now. And we need to do our everyday duties just as we need to. But we need to be searching more so after the spiritual things. The spiritual things is what lasts longer. The material things are only going to last as long as we live. And who knows if I'm going to even step off of this pulpit. Who knows? Lord knows. I have no idea. Hey, my time might be limited to 20 more minutes of Josh Doherty's life. I don't know. How can I gamble on well, I've got 60 more years to live. I'll be 80 years old. I'll be 70 years old when I die. I'll be 65 years old. How can I bet on that? How do I not know that my heart's not going to stop in the next 5 seconds? How do I know that? But yeah, we get too comfortable with living in just the same old slump. We dig a hole sitting there. Just, that's comfortable sitting here, so I'm not going to get up. And we just dig that hole and we can't get out of it. I mean, we can, but we're not willing to. We're not willing to get out of it. We need to be fearing God. We need to fear God. We need to respect God. There's a whole lot of disrespect to God and God's man in the church. There's too much, far too much, and it makes me sick. It makes me sick. There's far too much. Don't get comfortable with the flesh. That's all I got.